Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to the Haunted Collection with your host, writer, paranormal investigator, and haunted collector Kevin Kane, back with some wonderful, scary stories. Welcome back, and thank you for tuning in again for another episode. Before we get started with our creepy stories, I just want to invite you, as always, to visit my website, myhauntedolls.com. There you can shop in my store and find all of the books I've published. Get your autographed copy today. There's some wonderful, scary stories out there. Also, you can follow the link to my Redbubble store to buy t-shirts, hats, skirts, phone and tablet accessories, pet accessories, home and office accessories. They've got something of everything out there. So please check that out. Also, visit my YouTube channel, My Haunted Dolls. Be sure to subscribe and enjoy those videos out there of my haunted collection and all the creepy evidence that I've captured on video. And you can also find my books on Amazon and Kindle, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble. Pretty much every online retailer should have them, so please be sure to check out my books and buy your copies today. The books are also available on Kindle, and there are even a few on Audible. So if you like to listen to books, check those out. Especially my book, The Legends of Indian Narrows, Ghostly Childhood Memoirs, which is read by me on Audible. So you can listen to me share my childhood ghostly tales that got me on this journey. Now, without further ado, let's go ahead and get started on a couple of stories about some creepy abandoned places. I think you'll like these. This first one is one of those that makes you wonder when you're driving down the highway at night or even in the daytime and you pass by one of those abandoned looking gas stations or restaurants and wonder what's inside. This story is called Open 24 Hours. Bill McCormick knew he still had a long way to drive, but he was getting very, very sleepy. He was actually beginning to doze off at the wheel, and that, as Bill knew very well, could be extremely dangerous. He wasn't even sure exactly where he was anymore, a sign that he had been dozing. Bill was normally a very careful and attentive driver. What I need, Bill thought, is a good strong cup of black coffee, maybe even two cups. But Bill was driving down a dark and deserted two-lane road. He couldn't even see any houses. He had passed through a little town just a few miles back, but the whole place was dark. Nothing was open. Where am I going to get coffee here in the middle of nowhere at this time of night? He thought. Bill tried singing, even slapping his own face to stay awake. It was a losing battle. If he kept driving in this condition, he was going to fall asleep at the wheel and very much wind up in a ditch, or worse. Bill began to look for a place where he could pull off to the side of the road and take a nap. He didn't like to sleep in his car, particularly on a deserted road. You never can tell what might happen. But now he did not feel he had any choice. Then, as he came around a curve, he saw a green and red flashing neon sign. Diner, open 24 hours. I'm saved, he thought, Here, at last, he could get that coffee, and he wouldn't have to sleep in the car. The place was a small, old-fashioned type of roadside diner. It was all aluminum and built to look like a railroad car. There had been thousands of diners like this all across America in the late 1940s and early 50s. Now, they had been pretty much replaced by fast food outlets. No great loss, thought Bill. Diner food was generally pretty awful. He pulled into the parking lot. There was only one other car there, parked over to the side. He couldn't see the car too clearly. It looked old, about the same vintage as the diner itself. Bill figured it must belong to the owner. I wonder how a place like this manages to stay in business, he thought. There can't be much traffic on this road, particularly at night. The interior of the diner was every bit as dreary as Bill feared it would be. It wasn't anything he could really put his finger on. The place looked clean enough, but everything seemed shabby, worn, and patched together. The formica counter was chipped and cracked. The vinyl seats had been repaired with tape. Even the old-fashioned sugar pourer was missing the little metal flap that covered the spout. There were a couple of very tired-looking pieces of pie, flavor unknown, on display under a clear plastic cover. They looked so ancient and unappetizing that Bill decided he would take only coffee. Bill sat down and glanced over at the surly-looking young man behind the counter. He was about 20 and wore his abundant dark hair well greased and combed back. Bill expected him to come over and take his order, but the young man looked away and did not move. "Why don't you wait on the customers?" growled a thin, elderly man who was cleaning the grill. "You gotta give people service or they won't come back." "Customers," muttered the young man. "One guy comes in and we got customers." Still, he walked over to Bill, looked at him, and asked what he wanted. "I'll just have a cup of coffee," Bill said, "black." "You see, the guy only wants coffee," said the young man loudly. He went over to the coffee urn, hastily filled a mug, and slapped it down on the counter in front of Bill, spilling half of it. A careworn-looking gray-haired woman with a rag in her hand appeared. Bill didn't know where she had come from. She began frantically to wipe up the counter in front of him and refilled the mug. "You want some cream for that?" she asked. "No, this is fine." "How about some pie?" she asked. "We have some very nice pie." The gray-haired woman pointed to the dried-out pieces beneath the plastic cover. "No, please, I'm fine," Bill answered. The woman kept wiping the counter, even though it was by now quite clean. "Don't take him to heart," she whispered, motioning toward the young man. "He's a good boy. He's just been working too hard." The greasy-haired young man heard what she said and snorted. The older man kept relentlessly cleaning the grill. There was such an air of tension, even desperation, about the place that Bill really wanted to just leave his coffee and get back to his car. But he was afraid that might provoke something. So he drank the coffee down. It was awful, as he had expected. It tasted as if it had been sitting in the urn for a long time. He declined the gray-haired woman's urgings of a second cup, just paid for the coffee, which seemed amazingly cheap, though, considering the quality, perhaps still overpriced. It was with a real sigh of relief that he left the place and got back in his car. The experience, as much as the coffee, had left him wide awake. He wasn't worried about falling asleep at the wheel anymore. As he pulled out of the parking lot, he saw the gray-haired woman in the doorway of the diner waving at him. He wasn't going back there, so he pretended not to notice and just drove off. An hour later, a thoroughly exhausted Bill McCormick reached his destination. As he was undressing for bed, he realized that his wallet was missing. He had taken out his wallet when he paid for his coffee at the diner. "Oh man, I was in such a hurry to get out of the place, I must have left it on the counter," he thought. "Now I'll have to go back there." The following morning, Bill seriously considered just forgetting about the wallet, but he figured that getting a new driver's license and canceling all his credit cards would be more difficult than driving back to the diner. Bill thought he had a pretty good general idea of where the place was, and he figured it would not be too hard to find because it was probably the only diner on that road. But at first, he wasn't able to locate it. He drove over the same stretch of road where he knew the diner must be four times before he realized what was wrong. The place was there, all right, but it was not only closed. It now looked as if it had been abandoned for years. The parking lot was now overgrown with weeds. The windows were partially boarded over. The big, diner open 24 hours sign had half fallen down. As Bill drove up, he saw that there was another car in the lot over to the side, just as there had been last night. But the car was just a rusting hulk, as abandoned as the building it stood next to. Though Bill was feeling very uneasy, he forced himself to peer into one of the windows where the boards had fallen away. The inside of the diner was as he remembered it, but even older and drearier looking. Clearly no one had been inside the place for years. There was a thick layer of dust on everything. As his eyes became accustomed to the gloom, Bill thought he could make out a set of fresh footprints in the dust, from the door to the counter. And over by the cash register, he saw something familiar, something that made him sweat and shiver at the same time. It was his wallet. He went to the police station in the nearest town. Before he told his story to the officer behind the desk, he launched into a long explanation about how crazy the story sounded, but that he was not crazy, nor had he been drinking or anything like that. Bill wasn't even allowed to finish his explanation. The officer raised his hand and said, "It's about Tom and Edna's diner, about 5 miles down the road, isn't it?" "Yes," said Bill, now more puzzled than ever. "I was there last night and left my wallet. When I went back, the place looked like it had been closed for years. I don't know what happened." "It's a pretty depressing story," said the officer. "Tom and Edna Porter built the place right after World War II, put every penny they had into it. They thought that there was going to be an exit from the interstate that would funnel traffic right by them, and that they would do a big business. But the exit was never built, and traffic on the road in front of the diner just dried up. Tom and Edna couldn't walk away from their dream. They had invested too much of themselves in it, so they kept on working the place with their son, Bert. They believed that if they worked hard enough, they would somehow be able to go make a go of it. But it was impossible, of course. There was never going to be enough traffic to support a diner at that spot. They really did keep it open 24 hours a day, just the three of them, No one knows how. The place was usually empty, particularly at night, and they didn't have the money to fix it. So the strain got pretty bad. They used to fight all the time and drive away the few customers they had. For Tom and Edna, the diner had become an obsession. They couldn't stop, even though it was hopeless and was killing them. Bert should have left, but he wasn't the brightest guy in the world. He just hung on until one night, the strain became too much. There was a big argument, and he shot his parents. He then turned the gun on himself. That was back in 1956. Murder-suicide makes a big splash in a little town like this. Nobody ever forgot the case. The diner has been boarded up ever since. But a lot of people say they've seen lights on in the diner at night. I've never seen them myself, but my wife has. No local person would ever go into the place, though a couple of tourists say they have. But you're the first person who ever left something there. I hope you didn't have anything too valuable in that wallet, because I'm not going to get it for you, and I don't think you're going to want to either. That was a good creepy story. I love those stories where people go places and it looks like the place is open and they're inside and they do all this activity like eating or talking to people or even spending the night, only to find out the next day they were in an abandoned, haunted building the whole time. That can be very startling. And now on that same vein, or close to that same vein, we have another abandoned, haunted place, this time a house. This one takes us all the way to Spain, sunny Spain, and it's called Gold Coins. The story of the gold coins is an urban legend that can be heard all over the city of Cordoba in Spain. Over the years, it has passed from person to person by word of mouth. According to the legend, in the center of Cordoba, there is an old, dilapidated house that is said to be haunted. The house is very big and has many rooms, and all of the floors are covered in black tiles. Many years ago, it was owned by one of the most important and wealthy families in the city. The family consisted of a man, his wife, and their 8-year-old daughter. They also had a team of servants and maids who lived with them. One night, when the little girl was lying in bed, unable to sleep, she heard some noises in the corridor outside her room. Being a very curious child, she slowly opened the door of her bedroom and looked out into the long, dark corridor. At the end of the hallway, she could make out a small figure crouching down. As her eyes adjusted to the darkness, she was surprised to see a young boy, the same age as herself. He was carrying a lighted candle in his hand, and he was lifting one of the small stone slabs on the tiled floor. She watched as the young boy took something from his pocket and placed it beneath the tile. After he replaced the tile, the boy suddenly vanished into thin air. The little girl couldn't believe what she was seeing. She looked back down the corridor and noticed that one of the maids had been peeking out of her bedroom door and had witnessed the same strange scene. The maid grabbed a candle and came hurrying over to the little girl. They both knew what they had seen. That young boy was a ghost. Together, they cautiously approached the place where the boy had been crouching. They lifted the tile and discovered that there was a large hole underneath it. Peering down into the hole by the dim light of the candle, they noticed something glittering. The maid held up the slab as she lowered the little girl into the hole. The child could not believe what she found. It was a pile of gold coins. Shaking with excitement, she gathered up the coins and handed them out to the maid. Then the maid grabbed her by the hand and pulled her out of the hole. They replaced the tile and it fit back perfectly, looking like it had never been moved. The maid could hardly believe her luck, and the child could barely contain her excitement. Both of them decided that they should keep the discovery of the gold coins a secret. The maid warned the little girl not to mention anything about their find to her parents or the other servants. The next night, at the same time, the girl and the maid were peeking out of their bedroom doors, eagerly waiting for the ghostly little boy to appear. They watched as the spectral figure made its way down the corridor, lifted a tile, and placed some gold coins into the hole beneath. After he disappeared, the maid lowered the girl into the hole under the slab so she could retrieve the gold coins. Night after night, they repeated the same process. It seemed as if the treasure would never end. Each time, by the light of the candle, the girl got down into the small, narrow hole under the tile and gave the coins to the maid, who put them inside a big sack. One night, the candle was almost finished, and as the maid lowered the girl into the hole, the light started to flicker. The maid told the little girl to hurry up. She had to get out of the hole before the candle went out because they already had enough money. She pulled the little girl out of the hole, but at the last moment, one of the coins fell from the child's hands. Without thinking, the little girl jumped back in the hole again. The maid tried to catch her, but in doing so, she let go of the tile, and it slammed down, covering the hole. Suddenly, the candle went out. The maid began to panic. In the darkness, she tried to make her way down the corridor to her bedroom to fetch another candle. It was pitch black, and she could not see a thing. She had to feel her way along the wall until she reached her bedroom door. Searching desperately in the dark, she could not find any candles. With a lot of difficulty, the maid felt her way down the darkened corridor until she came to the kitchen. She rummaged through the drawers and eventually came across another candle. She lit it and quickly returned to the corridor. To her horror, the maid realized that she could not remember which tile the little girl was under. In the dim light, she searched and searched, prying at each tile, but the corridor was so long and so wide, and there were so many tiles, that she was unable to find the right one. Finally, she gave up and, clutching her bag of gold coins, she went back to bed. In the morning, the little girl's parents woke up to find their daughter had disappeared. They questioned the servants, but each one said they had no idea where the little girl could be. A complete search of the entire house was organized, but it turned up nothing. The distraught parents were baffled by their daughter's mysterious disappearance. The maid decided not to say anything about what happened that night. A few days later, their mother was crying in her bedroom when she heard a voice calling out. She recognized the voice immediately. It was the voice of her daughter. The little girl was crying out for someone to help her.
"Please help me. Let me out of here, please."
The mother searched the house again. Sometimes the screams seemed to be coming from one part of the house, but when she got there, the screams sounded like they were coming from somewhere else. Try as they might, the parents could not pinpoint the source of the screams. The father dug up the floors, demolished walls, and punched holes in ceilings, all in an effort to figure out where the girl's cries for help were coming from. After almost destroying the interior of the house, the parents were forced to admit defeat. For months, they lived in the building, listening to the incessant cries of their beloved daughter, unable to do anything to find her. All of this took its toll on their mental and physical health. Eventually, the mother lost her mind and committed suicide. The father, devastated by grief, moved away and died of a heart attack a few years later. The people of Cordoba say that this is a true story and the house is still standing today. According to the legend, if you go there at night, they say you can still hear the screams of a little girl pleading for help.
"Please help me. Let me out of here, please."
The house has become famous all over Spain, and sometimes teenagers visit the place at night to test their courage and see if they can find any gold coins. Others go there to explore the huge building in an attempt to discover where the remains of the little girl are located. As yet, nobody has been brave enough to spend the night there. The house is now boarded up, and the neighbors often call the police because of the strange cries and screams that come from within. They say that when the police arrive to investigate, the only thing they find is an old candle sitting on an old stone tile in the middle of the floor. Oh, I hope you enjoyed that story. It gave me the chills. But I also felt very sorry for that poor little girl. And maybe, hopefully today, her spirit is at rest. Well, I've enjoyed these stories, sharing them and reading them. And I hope you enjoyed listening to them. And that you'll come back and listen to more episodes. Be sure to subscribe, whether you're listening here on Podbeam or on Spotify or iHeartRadio, wherever you're listening, Amazon, Audible, be sure to subscribe and come back again. Until then, don't get too creeped out. Keep your doors and windows locked and stay away from those abandoned places and those blood-curdling screams. But by all means, have a happy haunting.